ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 18. Ritu Maharaj milks the earth planet, text number 5. Tan,
Anadritya,
Yo, Vidvan, Artan, Arbate, Tasya Vyavicharanti Artha Arabdas Cha Puna Puna Tan Anadrita Yovidvan Artan Arabate Swayam Tasya Vyava Vyabi Charantyarta. Arabdascha Puna Puna. Tananadritta Yobitvan. Artan Arabati Swayam. Tasya Vyava Charantyarta. Arabdascha puna puna
Arabdascha puna puna
Tananadrita yovidvan
Tananadrita yovidvan
Artan arabate swayam
Artan arabate swayam
Tasya vyabhi charantyastriyarta
Tasya vyabhi charantyastriyarta
Arabdascha puna puna
Arabdascha puna
Tan, those, Anadritya,
neglecting,
Yaha,
anyone who,
Avidvan, rascal, Artan,
schemes,
Arabate,
begins,
Swayam, personally,
Tasya,
is, Vyabachiranti,
do not become successful.
Artaha,
purposes.
Arabdaha,
attempted.
Cha,
and.
Puna puna,
again and again.
Translation: a foolish person who manufactures his own ways and means through mental speculation, and does not recognize the authority of the sages who lay down unimpeachable directions, is simply unsuccessful again and again in his attempts. Translation, please repeat.
A foolish person
who manufactures his own
ways and means
through mental speculation,
and does not recognize
the authority of the sages
who lay down unimpeachable
directions is simply unsuccessful again and again in his attempts. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. At the present moment it has become fashionable to disobey the unimpeachable direction given by the acharyas and liberated souls of the past. Presently, people are so fallen they cannot distinguish between a liberated soul and a conditioned soul. A conditioned soul is hampered by four defects, He is sure to commit mistakes. He is sure to become illusion. He has a tendency to cheat others, and his senses are imperfect. Consequently, we have to take directions from liberated persons. This Krishna conscious movement directly receives instructions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead via persons who are strictly following his instructions. Although a follower may not be a liberated person, if he follows the Supreme Liberated Personality of Godhead, his actions are naturally liberated from the contamination of material nature. Lord Chaitanya therefore says, by my order you become a spiritual master. One can immediately become a spiritual master by having full faith in the transcendental words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and by following his instructions. Materialistic men are not interested in taking direction from a liberated person, but they are very much interested in their own concocted ideas, which make them repeatedly fail in their attempts. Because this entire world is now following the imperfect directions of conditioned souls, humanity is completely bewildered. Tan anadrita yo vidvan artan arabate swayam tasya vyabhi charantyarta arabhascha puna puna. A foolish person who manufactures his own ways and means through mental speculation and does not recognize the authority of the sages who lay down unimpeachable directions is simply unsuccessful again and again in his attempts. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamaya Vatisavadandiyam Adadanas Trinandam Daivridam Yache Puna Puna Sri Madhrupa Padam Bhujo Tulisyam Janmadanmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Pancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaivata Patidanam Bhavanevo Vishnavevo Namo. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master has opened my eyes with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, I offer my obeisances at his lotus feet. So, vidvan means one who is wise. So, avidvan means opposite. Your Prabhupada translates rascal, foolish. So as we discussed yesterday, we have to take knowledge from the spiritual master. He's been trained by his spiritual master, who was trained by his spiritual master. It's not a haphazard endeavor. Just like sometimes, now you know how old I am, because I don't know if they still do this, but when I was a young boy, sometimes we had a birthday party, so we'd everyone sitting in a line, and one person would say something to the person next to him, that person would say next to him, and it would go around. They still do this, and then when it gets to the end, it's completely jumbled. So materialistic persons are trying to find out fault with the cyclic succession. It is just like that. But it is not like that. That is a haphazard, just one to the one for 2 seconds. But in spiritual life, one is trained for years under the guidance of his spiritual master. Then he becomes trained perfectly to repeat the message as it is. Like Prabhupada has called his Bhagavad Gita, as it is. Almost everyone has taken Bhagavad Gita and presented their own interpretation. Because everyone knows Krishna's words are very important. So they'll use Krishna's words but present their own philosophy, ignoring the acharyas. But our Vedic system is one must follow, first of all, disciplic succession. The knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes down from the Supreme through the line of disciplic succession, just as I described. They're trained for years and years in the ashram spiritual master to be able to give the message as it is. Just like now here in Australia is mango season. So the ripest mangoes, they're on the top of the tree where they get the most sun. So those are the ones that are ripe. So, but if we drop that mango, ripe mango from the top of the tree down, it is very soft when it hits the, when it gets to the ground. When it gets to our hand, it will splatter. So at least in India, what they do in the old days, they would have one person on each branch. And that person would pick the fruit, you hand it to the next branch, the next branch, the next branch. So at the bottom, we got the fruit intact. So Vedic knowledge doesn't drop haphazardly. It comes down through the 60 sessions so that we get it intact. We may try, just like we'll see the young boys, they're throwing rocks to try to knock the fruit down. But only the fruit that is already rotten, the fruit that is perfectly ripe, but is still stiff on the stem. So by throwing their rocks, trying to reach the fruit without disciplic succession, they will only get the rotten fruits. So we have to follow this process, first of all, disciplic succession. But Prabhupada says nowadays it has become fashionable, everybody invents his own concocted methods. Just like we have way of this, art of that, so many different concoctions are there. But we're meant to follow the liberated souls. Because the conditioned soul, Prabhupada explains over and over again, he has four defects. What is that? Conditioned soul is hampered by four defects. He is sure to commit mistakes. Just like we have the saying, to err is human. We're always committing mistakes. To err is human. We have a great sage in America named Murphy. He says, to err is human, but if you really want to screw things up, you need a computer. And he has a corollary, to err is human, but to blame it on someone else is more human. So we know we always committing mistakes. He is sure to become illusion. Just like so many people, they're doing so-called magic. It is all illusion. They move their hands in such a way and your eyes are unable to follow their actions. And it's all illusion. Just like we were in Singapore last week, so they have, just like the Eye of London, they have a big Ferris wheel. But somehow at night, due to the lights, I couldn't tell whether this side was closer or that side was closer. Sometimes it looked like it was going like this, and sometimes it looked like it was going like this. So our we have tendency to be illusion. Just like I was always thinking, then sometimes I went, first time I ever went to Karoli, where the original Madan Mohan deity is staying, I was seeing that the flute, it comes in here and it comes out here. I was thinking it was an illusion. You can't draw a straight line between this part and this part. But actually it's not an illusion. What happened was the king of Jaipur, he married his daughter with the prince of Karoli. So, Indian weddings, they go on for several days. The last day is called Bidai, when the girl will leave her father's house. She's never lived outside of her father's house. She's always been under his protection. Now she will go to the house of her father-in-law with her husband. So it is a big deal. So all night before she was crying and crying, whole day before she's crying, she's going to leave her father's house. So the king said, look, please don't cry. He's very soft-hearted. Please don't cry. Whatever you want, I'll give. But she's the girl of the palace, she knows all the intrigue of the palace, so she kept quiet. He said, no, whatever you want, I'll give you. And she kept quiet. He said, I give my word. Whatever you want, I'll give you. Just don't cry. So now he's given his word. And she kept quiet to that. And he's given his word. Kshatriya, at least in old days, they can't go back on their word. And all she said was, I'm leaving Jaipur, but my Madan Mohan is remaining here. That much she said. But he could understand the purport. Oh, you want to take Madan Mohan with you to Karoli? Huh? Alright, tomorrow we'll bring Govinda Gopinath and Madan Mohan and put the three Thakurjis together. And you will have to tell which one is Madan Mohan by blindfold. So, whole night, she was just praying to Madan Mohan, praying. Then she got a dream. Madan Mohan said, I have broken my flute. You find the Thakurji with a broken flute, that is me. So in the morning they brought the three Thakurjis, they blindfolded the princess. She went, she found the one with the broken flute. He said, this is my Madan Mohan. They made a big carriage and a big army and took him to Karoli. Now he's reigning there very gloriously in Karoli. I don't know if you've ever been. It's a very wonderful place. But I always used to think it was some illusion until I heard the story. Because they have to put half the flute in this side and half the flute in this side, and you can't draw a straight line. It looks like an illusion. But it's, and nowadays I've seen they don't even bother with this part of the flute, they just put this part of the flute. Anyway, we have tendency to be illusion. What's next? He has a tendency to cheat others. Just like we see every day, everyone is trying to cheat us in one way or another. This is just like Prabhupada explains many times. They have no real knowledge, but they present themselves as professors. So this is cheating. They don't really know. Just like the big scientists, they're very anxious that we accept their scientific theories. That we become conscious that they have got some wonderful theory, but they cannot explain what is consciousness. They want all of us to be conscious of their name and fame and their great theory, but they have there's no chemical formula for consciousness. They cannot explain it in any way. Yet they're passing themselves as big scientists. And without consciousness, this whole universe is useless. It is a basic thing in this universe, but that basic thing they cannot explain. Therefore they're just presenting theories, and every day they change that theory. Or not every day, but every so often theory is changed. So they're trying to present that they're presenting actual knowledge, but it is just theory. And theory means it changes. And our senses are imperfect. Just like the closest thing to our eye is our eyelid, but has anybody ever seen their eyelids? If something's too far away, we can't see. If something's too close, we can't see. We only hear so many, the range of sound waves, we only hear just like sometimes there's whistle, we blow it, the dog comes running. He can hear, we can't hear. So our senses are limited in so many ways. So these four defects, it's impossible for us to get perfect knowledge of this world. We cannot get perfect. Perfect knowledge comes down from the Lord Himself. Like it says in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahma Rida. Brahma got knowledge from Krishna from within his heart. Krishna transmits the knowledge. Because it comes from Krishna, it's perfect. Therefore, Prabhupada says, if someone follows strictly the disciplic succession, then he also becomes, and his knowledge is also perfect. And whatever he presents is also, he may not be perfect, but because he's following, this is the process, we have to follow. It's like there's these descending process and ascending process. But by ascending process, we will never get to the, every philosopher is trying to defeat the next one. Everyone presents, tries to defeat the previous philosopher. They never come to any conclusion. And eventually by climbing up, eventually we'll slip off the slippery slopes of knowledge and fall into the deep dark abyss of a cavern of a Mayavad philosophy. We will never come to the conclusion that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But by descending knowledge, we get this perfect knowledge that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's bluish black like a monsoon cloud. He's got lotus petal eyes, so many, everything we can understand perfectly by this descending process. But unfortunately, in this particular age, everyone is very anxious to present himself as a very learned person without actually having following the taking knowledge from those who are liberated persons. But only if we get knowledge from persons liberated from this material existence, or someone who's following such a liberated person, can we get real knowledge. Therefore, here it says, puna puna. It's like we know this puna puna charvita charvana charvana. Puna puna. Chewing the chewed. Just like the somebody, if you've ever, just like last time when we were in New Govardhan, there was so much sugar cane growing all around when we were driving. So somehow the devotees, they got some sugar cane from me. So you chew it, a nice sweet taste come out, and when the pulp is left over, you can chew the pulp, so then you just, or you chew it, but then you can't digest it. So it's spit out. Now somebody comes along and picks up the chewed sugar cane pulp, he may get some little bit of taste, but the real taste is gone. And so this material life means chewing the truth. We're not getting any real taste. So we want to go beyond that to the real juice that's coming from the, just like we're singing every day, that my mind be purified by the words emanating from the lotus mouth of my spiritual master. So we want to get that juice. So this is, there's a nice purport to the next verse, so we'll go to the next verse. This is short purport. Whoever makes the verse, you can remember the one next to 7. Pura srista yasa yosadyo brahmana ya vishampate bhujamana maya drista asadvir adrita vritai. My dear king, the seeds, roots, herbs, and grains which were created by Lord Brahma in the past are now being used by non-devotees who are devoid of all spiritual understanding. Purport. Lord Brahma created this material world for the use of the living entities, but it was created according to a plan that all living entities who might come into it to dominate it for sense gratification would be given directions by Lord Brahma in the Vedas in order that they might ultimately leave it and return home back to Godhead. All necessities are grown on earth, namely fruits, flowers, trees, grains, animals, and animal byproducts, which were created for use in sacrifice for the satisfaction, for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. However, the planet Earth in the shape of a cow herein submits that all these utilities are being used by the non-devotees who have no plans for spiritual understanding. Although there are immense potencies within the Earth for production of grains, fruits, flowers, this production is checked by the Earth itself when it is misused by non-devotees who have no spiritual goals. Everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everything can be used for his satisfaction. Things should not be used for sense gratification of the living entities. This is the whole plan of material nature, according to the directions of this material nature. In this verse, the words asadbi and adrita vratai are important. Asadbi refers to the non-devotees. The non-devotees have been described in Bhagavad Gita
as Duskritana, miscreants, Muda, asses or rascals, Naradama, lowest of mankind, and Maya Pritagyana, those who have lost their knowledge due to the power of illusory energy. All these persons are asat, non-devotees. Non-devotees are also called Grihavrata, whereas the devotees are called Dhritavrata. The whole Vedic plan is that the misguided conditioned souls who come to lord it over the material nature should be trained to become Dhritavrata. This means that they should take a vow to satisfy their senses or enjoy material life only by satisfying the senses of the Supreme Lord. Activities intended to satisfy the senses of the Supreme Lord Krishna are called Krishnarte Kila Chestaha. This indicates that one can attempt all kinds of work, but one should do so to satisfy Krishna. This is described in Bhagavad Gita as Yagyartha Karma. The word Yagya indicates Lord Vishnu. We should work only for His satisfaction. In modern times, Kali Yuga, however, people have forgotten Vishnu altogether, and they conduct their activities for sense gratification. Such people will gradually become poverty-stricken, but they cannot use things which are enjoyed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead for their own sense gratification. If they continue like this, there will ultimately be a state of poverty, and no grains, fruits, or flowers will be produced. Indeed, it is stated, in the 12th canto of Bhagavatam, that in the end of Kali Yuga, people will be so polluted there will no longer be grains, wheat, sugar cane, or milk. So here we're given the perfect knowledge that although the modern age, everybody's meant for, destined to exploit the resources of the material nature, we see the material nature is restricting. Prabhupada explains you, the verse explains, and Prabhupada also explains that if the earth is exploited, then she begins to restrict. Just like we see so many lands are becoming arid, even the fruits and vegetables that we're getting, they are all practically useless. They look nice, but they have no nourishment to them. I can remember when I was young, we used to get these small little strawberries, but they had wonderful taste. Now they're big, red, bright red strawberries, but no taste. They're just water. So, the purpose is to utilize, we have this body, we have senses, so we have to satisfy them, but that should be dovetailed in the service of the Lord. Just like we were explaining the other day that we don't say don't sing, but you sing the name of the Lord. You sing wonderful songs glorifying the pastimes of the Lord. We don't say you don't dance, but you dance for the Lord. We don't say you don't see. You come to the temple and see the beautiful form of the Lord. We don't say you don't hear, but you hear the beautiful songs of the Lord. We don't say don't think, but you meditate on these wonderful instructions that Srila Prabhupada has given us. This way we connect. This is called Krishnartha. What did he say? Krishnartha Chaistata. Attempts to satisfy Krishna. Krishna's another name is Govinda. Govinda means Go also means senses. We know Go means cow. The cow is actually a perfect example of the senses. Just like as soon as you go to the Goshala, either in Vrindavan or Mayapur or wherever there is one, immediately the cow comes with her nose. You have something to eat? So, cow is a perfect example, just always searching for sense gratification. In fact, one time in Bhaktivedanta Manor, they have wonderful Goshala, somebody brought so many bags of apples to give to the cows. They donated some apples to them. So somehow one cow got free and she found those bags of apples. She chewed open the bag and began to eat the apples. And she ate so many apples, eventually she bloated, turned over on her back, stuck her feet in the air, and died. Because they don't know how to control their senses. Just That is why go also means cow, it also means senses. So Govinda means that the trick is, if we want to satisfy our senses, first we satisfy the senses of Govinda. Then automatically we're satisfied. Prabhupada said there's no question of overpopulation. The earth can produce so much, but it has to be utilized in a way that's harmonious with the nature. It's harmonious with the plan of the Lord. Now we're exploiting and we see, right, the earth is becoming less and less fertile. We have to put more and more weird chemicals. The weather has become completely upside down. Some places drought, some places flood. The earth is restricted because she's being exploited by the non-devotees. So here she's explaining this himself. And now the asadvis. We know the word satya. So the devotees are called sat. But non-devotees are called asat. Unreal. They don't know the truth. And they never speak the truth. So the non-devotees are exploiting the earth, therefore she's beginning to restrict. But when we use everything in Krishna consciousness, then automatically the circuit is complete. Just like we give the example many times of the light. There's one line coming from the powerhouse, one line going back. When the circuit is complete, the light comes on. Same way, when we utilize everything for the satisfaction of the Lord, the circuit is complete, then earth will produce beautiful fruits and flowers and roots and seeds and unlimited quantities. But as soon as we're just taking, we break the circuit, then gradually the light will go out. So if we break the circuit, the light goes out. So now we're breaking the circuit and gradually we're suffering the effects over and over again. And it's becoming more and more obvious to us that we're practically neglecting half of Prabhupada's instructions, that we grow our own food, that we produce our own things. And now people are gradually being forced to wake up and take up farm projects and different projects like that, and to produce our own things and live in harmony with nature rather than try to fight with nature. So this is, so the Mother Earth, she's telling the king that I have plenty of fruit, seeds, roots, I have everything. But now the devotees are no longer, the non-devotees are no longer utilizing everything for Vishnu. Because we know Prabhupada quote that verse over and over, Yagyavai Vishnu, that sacrifice is meant to satisfy Krishna. When we work in that way, then Krishna, he's the Lord of the earth. He can tell the earth to immediately supply so many wonderful things for us. Like Prabhupada many times said, the factory cannot produce even one grain of rice. They can produce so many things, but they cannot produce even one drop of milk, though they're trying. They cannot produce even one. We can build big, big factories. All they're producing is gases that are destroying our planet. Even here in Australia, you're more conscious. There's this big ozone hole over top of us. We can destroy things by our exploiting nature, but we cannot restore things. The Vedic process of satisfying, living in harmony with nature can bring the nature back into harmony, and the earth can supply so much things. I've seen, just like in Mayapur, I saw so many people doing raised bed cultivation. A little piece of land that they have, by working in harmony with nature, and by offering the results of that to Krishna, they're producing so many vegetables, a little piece, a little plot of land. If we work in harmony with nature, then we can have unlimited things. When we want to satisfy our lust, then we'll get in trouble. Then nature begins to restrict everything. So how to overcome this lust? Just like I remember I was walking on Venice Beach one time when Dr. Stilson Judah came. He was the in charge of the in Berkeley there was the Theological Union, and he wrote many books praising Prabhupada's work. So I happened to be in LA that time. I come down from Portland, and he was invited to come on the morning walk. So he asked Prabhupada that every religion has to deal with the problem of lust. So what to do? How do you deal with the problem of lust? And Prabhupada was walking, he poked his cane in the ground and he turned around in the sand. He turned around and he said, unless you become Krishna conscious, there is no solution to this problem of lust. Unless you become Krishna conscious, there's no solution. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this dark age of Kali, he's given this wonderful process, because it's practically impossible to overcome lust. We're failing again and again. But by this chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, gradually we're able to become satisfied. This chant, sound vibration goes directly to the soul. Because unless one is satisfied, he'll always be in exploiting nature. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is given this very merciful process. These two lords are so merciful. Lochandasagar's Kevala Nanda Kanda, they give him process simply joyful. Generally, people think of religion means you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. It's very boring and uninteresting. But Krishna consciousness is a positive joy of spiritual life. We, of course, we have our domes, but on the other side, we have our dues. You do chant the holy name, you do listen to the pastimes of the Lord, just like last night everybody was relishing, and tonight also we'll continue to relish the pastimes of the Lord. You do relish the wonderful prasad of the Lord. First we offer to the Lord, and then we accept the remnants, Krishna's remnants as prasadam. So in this way, Kevala Nanda Kanda, it's simply joyful. Even in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna told this process is joyfully performed. Generally people think of religion as something very boring. You go to the church, you sit in a pew, and the priest gives some boring lecture, and you put some collection in the collection plate, and that's it. And then they forget. Something means that somehow they go for 1 hour and tolerate it, and then the rest of the week they forget completely about God. But this process is throughout the life. Because I think it was Oprah, she went to India, she said, these people live their religion. She said, we have religion in the West, but we just do it for a little bit. But these people live their religion. Even though it's a very fallen state now, she was still able to understand that. The hours is not just once a 1 hour a week, but it's her whole life is dedicated to religion. I remember in Alachua, they told me they were building the new kitchen, and the contractor, he was amazed. He said, every other church I ever worked on, it was only open 1 day a week. Your church is open all the time, people coming and going all the time. So we have this very joyful process of Krishna consciousness. We endeavor to satisfy the Lord, and then with Krishna's prasad we satisfy our senses, then we'll become happy in this world and we'll be able to move on to the spiritual world and attain eternal spiritual life. So any questions or comments? Yes?
Prabhu, regarding the passing the manual down, how do you balance that with making adjustments for modern circumstances and changing times?
Well, that has to be done very, very carefully. Only someone who's very, very expert can adjust things like Prabhupada was able to adjust things. But the basic principles can never be adjusted. but some outer, lesser principles can be adjusted. But it takes a lot of training to be able to see that. Just like actually in Hari Bhakti Vilas, it says that after going to the bathroom, you should wash your hand 10 times. But nowadays it's totally impractical. But these are sub-religious principles. But the main tenets that we accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that we have to surrender to Him, these things we can't change. But how we surrender to Krishna, that can be adjusted to a certain extent. We cannot, Prabhupada has given us our 4 regular principles, we cannot adjust that. But how we dress, that could be adjusted. Prabhupada said one could be dressed like a gentleman. But I had practical experience. I was just in New York. So my dear friend Arjun here, he long-term desire to see his Times Square. So we went to Times Square. We were dressed as devotees. People were coming up and approaching us, asking if there was a temple here. What do you guys represent? Things people, just by seeing us, they were asking about Krishna consciousness. I dressed normally, nobody would ever have said a thing to us. But still, Prabhupada said it was alright if one presents himself as a gentleman. So some religious principles we can adjust a little bit, but the main tenets we cannot change.
What about particularly books? Now, internet is a more prominent means of communication. So, in books, the emphasis is still there, or is that affecting change? Books. I've got to read books. They weren't as predominant a means of communication.
But I think we have most of Prabhupada's books on the internet now, anyway. Books are just the internet is a modern form of books. And we can use the internet is like a knife. A knife, I can use it to cut up potatoes to make nice Gauranga potatoes for the Lord. I can use that knife to kill you. So the internet is like that. We can use it to present Krishna consciousness, or we can kill each other. Has to be done very carefully. Yes?
You tell us about the past time. Lord Krishna became like Kishore and Kishore suddenly. From a small infant, he became Kishore, and then...
Oh, that's a big long past time. Maybe we'll tell it this evening.
Right.
But Krishna and Radha and Krishna are the Supreme Personalities of Godhead, so they can... For us to go from baby body to a full grown youth, it takes many years. That Radha and Krishna, they did it in just a few seconds. And that particular pastime that you're wondering about. Yes, Prabhuji.
How to make sure that love for anything doesn't turn into a dust?
By keeping association with devotees. Devotees will help train us and poke us when we're going off the path and push us back onto the path. So we have sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva sastra ko 11, that is sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi. Oh yeah. But we must always associate with devotees who will keep us on the right path. And by being constantly engaged in devotional service. As Prabhupada turned to Dr. Stilts, he said, there's no other alternative than to become Krishna conscious. It's like, sometimes we see there's someone, he's always criticizing the grihastas, they're fallen, they're useless, they're this, they're that. But he's the first one to raise the white flag of surrender. And we see another person, he goes on doing his service, not criticizing anyone, very nicely, completely absorbed in his service day after year, we see him in saffron. So we have to become absorbed in service, there's no other way. We have to become absorbed in nectar of the holy name, there's no other way. That's why Mahaprabhu is so merciful. He's given this Hare Krishna mantra. It's so wonderful. All the devotees are just, we were just astonished to see everybody running up and down, because there's so much pleasure. We're looking for pleasure-seeking living beings. And Vedas say, Rasavai Saha, the Lord, the truth, is also Ras. But we're looking for rust in this chewed over chewed material world. But the real rust will be in that kirtan rust. In this holy name. Lord is not different from the name. So if we look for that rust within the holy name of the Lord, it's like now in South Africa, they're having this Harinam Ruchi program. Everybody's sitting in different people, different devotees they've invited, and everyone chanting, and then there's lectures in between, like that. So we have to catch that rust and hang on to it for dear life. Somebody has a question? Yes?
Thank you, Guru. You mentioned Prabhupada mentioned about the defects. Prabhupada mentioned about the defects, we explained the four defects.
Yeah.
Now, as practicing devotees, when we do our services. Now, will this service also, even it will be in condition that it will be defective because we cannot perform that in a pure way. So, will that service be considered as a still pure devotional service?
Prabhupada said very clearly, it was very nice the way he put it. May not be a liberated person. If he follows the supreme liberated personality of Godhead, his actions are also naturally liberated from the contamination of material nature. Because we have got a special mystic power. People want to think that those in spiritual life have some mystic power, they should make something appear or disappear. But we have got the power to change matter into spirit. Bhagavad Gita explains that the thing that's offered, the process of offering, the result, everything becomes Brahma. Everything becomes spiritualized. So this appears to be just like any other building on the street here. But somehow or other, even non-devotees come here and they feel something special. I have got so many. I remember the devotees had, because when I became devotee, it wasn't even the temple. They just put Lord Jagannath in the living room with these 4 rupees log cabin that they had rented for the summer. And as soon as I walked in, I felt, oh wow, there's a special vibration in the air. And because this, it's all the same brick, same cement, same RCC, everything's same, but it's all used being for the pleasure of Sri Sri Radha Balava. Therefore, this building is completely spiritual. So whatever we utilize in the service of the Lord, it also becomes spiritual. Just like Prabhupada gave the example, you take a piece of iron and you put it in fire, it becomes fire. And somebody says, no, it is still a metal rod. All right, touch it, rascal. Touch it, rascal. You'll see that it appears to be a metal rod, but if you touch it, it is acting like fire. So although our activities may not be perfect, it is being used in devotional service, it becomes spiritualized. So outwardly may feel imperfect, we cannot do anything our attempts at devotion, we're just attempting. It's like, these were the deities, right, Prabhupada, leading you here with the Maharajas, or that was Gopinath and Siddhi. You please train them. Yes, Prabhuji?
We see Lord as a baby, or as we see in the Bhagavatam. We see he's playing in the lap of his mother. That we see. And we see, even before he attained the age of 10, he killed the demons, like anything. Right, beginning from Kumsho and others. But when he went to Kurukshetra Yuddha, did he attain his youth? He made his Etisatya. Now we have got our babyhood, then boyhood, then youth, and old.
But Krishna never aged beyond 16.
He never went beyond.
Even in Kurukshetra, he was 125 years old, but he still appeared like a 16-year-old youth.
Still, when he was Partho Sarathi, he acted definitely. He acted the age of 20 or 22, but he still looked like Isos.
Yes.
But when he left this world, the story we heard from the Bhagavata, even he looks like Isos. He looks like Kishore only, not even youth. He looked like a Kishore, not even youth. What is the significance in it? Did he ever attain the old days like us? No, it's not like.
No, Krishna's body is eternal.
Eternal.
And even the baby body is existing eternally somewhere in the spiritual world. People.
But he's great devotees. Like. His great devotees like Prabhupada and others, they went through different boyhood, babyhood, boyhood, youth.
We've got a mature body, therefore we have to suffer all these changes of the
life. But he was not having this material body.
And leaving his body was just an illusion, because there's no question of Krishna's leaving his body. That was just an illusion he created for the materialists. Krishna never left his body, he returned back to the spiritual world as he is.
See, we are worshipping the Lord. In winter, we are giving blanket to the Lord. But is not beyond this winter and all these things.
Yeah, but just like
is it Father's Day, material body?
Father's Day comes. Or is coming. So the little boy, he goes to the mother. Because the mothers are very expert to get money from the fathers. And she says, Mata, I need some money to buy a tie for Papa. So they go to the store, they buy a tie, Father's birthday comes, he gives the father the box, he opens it up. Practically, he bought the gift. It was his money. The mother got the money from him. It's his money. He bought a gift for himself. But because the child is offering with love, and the father looks at it, the color he's never going to use, he hates it. But he looks at it and says, oh, so wonderful. And he immediately puts on the tie. And because the most important ingredient is love. Krishna doesn't need our offerings. We need to offer things to Krishna to learn how to serve again. Now we're exploiting. We need how to learn how to serve again. So it's not for Krishna's benefit that we make nice dresses. It's for our benefit. In the spiritual world, Krishna's dress must be millions of times more beautiful than we think these are very beautiful. But this is Krishna. He's not after our things. He's after our love. Krishna doesn't need our service, but we need to serve Krishna. Any other question or comment? There's no more questions and comments. We can all fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of the great personality who's engaged us, utilizing the resources of material nature in the service of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.